There were 6 bows and a large stock of arrows on the threshold. Clary picked up a bow and a single shaft.
I'm aware that you all know how to fire a bow, but I'll go over this once to refresh your memories. This bow, like the others we have made, is a long bow. Solid yew and more than twice the size of the ones you are used to. It is strung with a cord plaited from fishing lines to give it extra power. The arrows, as you can see, are far longer than normal arrows, thicker too. They are oak, fire-hardened tips and leaf flights. Now, I have chosen you because you are the biggest, strongest creatures in the abbey, the very ones to fire these longbows. Let me demonstrate.
As Saxtus watched, Clary notched an arrow onto the bowstring.
Stand side on to the bow, keep it upright, draw back the string so that the shaft is fully occupied and the string taut. Bring the arrow up to the jawline, sight with one eye along the shaft, allowing for the arrow to take a curving course, mounting upwards and coming down right on the object aimed at. Right. Now for a target.
Time pointed.
The rat dipping a swinger into the fire. Get him!
Clary adjusted his eye line, drew the arrow back to its limits and let fly. The taut longbow string twanged as the heavy oak shaft hissed off into the dawn light. Saxtus held his breath. Ranzo was about to start whirling his fire swinger when the arrow struck him. It knocked him backward dead before he could blink, the fire swinger dropping from his nerveless claws. Saxtus was still a novice in the art of war, and the sudden death shocked him.
He killed him. He's dead,
he stammered to the grim-faced hare. Clary issued longbows to the others.
Aye, young mouse, it was a clean shot. Keep your head down and issue us with arrows as we call for them. In case you're feeling sorry for that wretch, let me tell you something. Fire is the most dangerous thing to any living woodlander. Once it takes a hold, it means death and destruction to everyone and everything. Only a sea rat would use fire. Sometimes I think it is because they do not realize the danger, being creatures who live on the great waters. But most of the time, I think it is because they are evil vermin. We at Selim and Dastron have battled against sea rats all our lives. I would not dare tell you some of the sights I have seen. Sea rats are complete enemies. They live only to kill and conquer. They are completely merciless.
Time notched an arrow to his bowstring.
Righty-ho, chaps! Give 'em vinegar, what?
5 more messengers of death hissed through the early morning. It was then that Saxtus decided the hare's manner was merely a front, presented to others because they would forget the real purpose behind the guardians of the shores. The young mouse doled out arrows, knowing that he would never get used to warfare and be a jolly fellow one moment and a ruthless fighter the next. Pandemonium reigned in the sea rat camp. Greypatch ran hither and thither, trying to stop his sea rats retreating out of the range of the deadly longbows, exhorting them to carry on with his plan, which had worked quite well until the appearance of the hares.
Come on, shipmates! Don't let a few arrows scare you off! Lardgut, Kaibo, get back here! We were beating them, we still can!
Big Fang sat well out of range, a smug expression on his face.
I told you about those rabbits, Greypatch. But you wouldn't listen, would you? Oh, no, you knew best.
The sea rat captain's temper broke completely.
You lily-livered, worm-hearted, build-scrapings, mutineers, deserters, the whole pack of you! We had the battle nearly won, and now you've turned tail and slunk off like a load of sea slugs. Look at me! Am I afraid? Am I scared? Ha ha ha! I love 'em!
Greypatch grabbed the fire swinger. Putting light to it, he began swinging it furiously.
I'll show you, Abbey scum! I'll bring your red wool down in flames!
He dodged, ducking a flying arrow. The fire swinger lost momentum right at its peak and the burning section fell onto his foot claws. Greypatch hopped about, beating at his burning limb, fear smouldering as he threw himself upon his back, screeching and thudding his scorched foot claws against the ground. Hon Rosie fell back, whooping hysterically.
Oh, I say, chaps, that was a real old hot foot.
Down in the orchard, Gabriel Quill and Bergo Mole sat looking at each other.
Yeah, they vermin's been chucking no more fire at us'ns.
No, they ain't neither, Bergo. Your eyes are all red and smoky.
Talk about yourself, Gabriel Quill. You ain't got a sooty nose.
Brother Hubert wandered wearily across.
Oh, just look at the state of my paws. Scorched, soiled and grubby. A fine state of affairs for an abbey recorder, I must say.
Oh, scruffy old Hubert. No more fires now, those are.
Indeed. It's thanks to those hares. Splendid creatures.
I'll drink to that, Hubert. What do you say we go to my cellars and have a small drop to drive away the heat and dust of our night's work?
Brr, I'm with thee, Gable. 'Tis a terrible thirst come on high.
Marvellous idea. Count me in, Mr. Quill.
The three old friends trundled off, paw in paw. As Abbot Bernard watched them go, he felt Simeon pulling on his sleeve.
I think there should be room for two more in Gabriel's cellar, Bernard.
Yes, they'll manage to squeeze us in somehow, Simeon.
Inside the abbey, young Cocklebear had been given charge of Dibbin's breakfast time. He mopped his brow as he chased grub about with a bowl of corn pudding.
Oh, wandering wood pigeons, will you come and eat this breakfast, you dreadful scoundrel?
Grub hid beneath the table with Bag and Run.
Nay, I bain't eating no breakfast. Us'uns are going out to play.
Sister Serena said there's no more fire and we can go out.
I don't like corn pudding. What a plain orchard.
Fidgeting frogs. Mother Mellis told me no beast goes out without eating breakfast first, especially Dibbons.
Oh, well, do we sling it under here and us'uns will force it down.
This ends Disc 7.